helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. I'm sure we've all heard someone say there ought to be a law. The sad fact is, the United States is drowning in laws, rules, and regulations. The problem isn't the need for more laws, but to start enforcing the ones we have, starting with the Constitution of the United States. See, those in Washington, D.C. routinely ignore the supreme law of the land, yet never seem to pay a price for it. I believe these criminals get away with it mainly because we, the people, don't know the Constitution for ourselves. For example, is it up to Congress and the President to deal with dangerous demonstrations in our universities? Does the United States have the authority to regulate our energy production? Can a President sign a treaty to do what the Constitution forbids? If you cannot answer these questions, then you're not a free American. Rather, you are enslaved to those committing the crimes. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. I've got an interesting show for you. We're going to spend the first two segments talking about, the criminal enterprise that the United States has become. I know of no other way to describe how the federal government works than as a criminal enterprise. And I'm going to give you some examples for that. And then we're going to wrap up with an interview with a gentleman by the name of Peter Serafin. He's got a book coming out that talks about the times that the federal government admitted to breaking trust, to lying and frequently harming the American people. So let's get started with this. So most of you probably know about the demonstrations that started at Columbia University and have spread to other universities across the nation. These are pro-Palestinian. Many of them include some anti-Semitic aspects to them, and they've caused quite a disruption. Columbia University went to remote learning because Jews were not safe on campus. Jewish students were not safe on campus here in the United States. Now, apparently, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, called on the President of the United States to send National Guard troops to Columbia University to deal with this. Now, the President declined. But you know what? Neither Mr. Johnson nor Mr. Biden have the legal authority to send National Guard troops to deal with Columbia University. You see, Congress has the authority to set up a system to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. But this isn't executing the laws of the Union. The United States has no legislative authority over the city of New York, period. Now, there are federal laws that deal with interstate commerce and the like. We're not talking about that. This is a state issue. Now, under Article 4, Section 4, the state legislature can request the United States help them deal with domestic violence. All right, the Article 4, Section 4 says, United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government, and shall protect them against invasion, and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. So the only people who can request the National Guard to deal with domestic violence at Columbia University is the legislature of the state of New York, or if the legislature cannot be convened, the governor. That's it. Not Speaker Johnson, not President Biden. They can't. Now, again, most people don't realize this. That's why I say that this criminal enterprise continues, because we, the people, don't even realize that the idea of the Speaker of the House calling on the president to send National Guard troops to deal with a college campus uprising violates the law. It's a criminal activity. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. There is no federal law being violated, no legitimate federal law being violated here. Now, granted, I'm not saying that these demonstrations are okay. They're good. But let's not make things worse by making an illegal federal case out of it. Now, according to the press secretary of New York Governor Hochul, she does not plan to request assistance from the Biden administration. She's not looking for troops, which means if the president, whether because Speaker Johnson encouraged him or not, were to send National Guard troops, he would actually be committing not only an invasion, he'd be committing an insurrection. An insurrection? Yes, an insurrection. Because not only would he be overthrowing the Constitution of the United States, he'd be overthrowing the legitimate government of the state of New York. That's an insurrection, is it not? And again, using armed troops, that would actually be an insurrection. I doubt the newspapers would call it that, but that's basically what would happen. And again, I'm not saying that what's happening at Columbia and other universities is appropriate. Not all of it, at least. Some of it is, some of it is not. But it shows you just how close to a despotic tyranny we are when the leaders, when we have leaders of both parties saying, send in the troops. Now, granted, Johnson is a Republican saying send the troops. Biden is saying, no, not yet. The governor, Hochul, saying, no, not yet. But I've heard people call for, National Guard troops that are not all Republicans. And again, it's because of our own ignorance. Speaking of our own ignorance, so a lot of people have been talking about the EPA and the rule they're putting out for, to regulate coal and natural gas power plants. And a lot of people are pointing out, and I believe rightly so, that this is, it's going to be destructive to our nation, our economy, because the rules are basically designed to make it impossible to effectively run coal and natural gas. I mean, let's face it, solar, wind power, very expensive, therefore it's not economical. So an attempt to make it economical rather than making these other, than finding ways of making alternate ways of generating electricity cheaper, like nuclear. No, we're going to take the ones that work really, really well, and we're going to make them more expensive. And everything, most of what I've heard about that is quite true, right? If electricity becomes more expensive, well, then everything we buy becomes more expensive because it takes electricity to produce things, to light the workplaces where this happens, to run the refrigeration for what needs to be cooled, to run the heating for what needs to be heated. Electricity is everywhere. But there's a fundamental problem here that I don't see being mentioned, being dealt with. See, an EPA regulation is not the supreme law of the land. Let me say that again. Let me make sure you understand. This EPA regulation is not the supreme law of the land. Article 6, Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. But the biggest problem we have is even the judges, who according to Article 6, Clause 2, are bound by this, right? It said the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. The judges don't know this. The president certainly doesn't know this. EPA doesn't know this. Congress doesn't know this. In fact, the average American doesn't know this. But these rules and regulations are not legal. They're not law. See, Article 1, Section 1, Clause 1, all legislative power, all lawmaking power is vested in Congress, not in the executive branch. In order for an act of Congress The a law of the United States to be the supreme law of land. It must be made pursuant to the Constitution. But what happens when it's not being made pursuant to the Constitution? So when Congress says, well, we're going to kind of put together something and we're going to let the executive branch fill in the details, that's taking legislative power and trying to put it in another branch. That violates Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. See, so many of the problems I think we're dealing with because we don't follow the Constitution because we don't know the Constitution. Now, the biggest problem is, well, the EPA is going to come in and issue fines and all that. Well, where are the states standing up and saying, no? See, regulating the environment is not a power delegated to the United States. Now, you may think the federal government's the right place to deal with that. Fine. Change the Constitution. Until you do so, the EPA does not legally exist. Why? Because the legislation that created the EPA, it was created to enact a power not delegated to the United States, therefore it violates the 10th Amendment, therefore it's an unconstitutional act, and according to at least three Supreme Court opinions, that means that act is void. It's as if it never, ever happened. But we pretend. And we play this game over and over and over again, and then we wonder why our president acts more like a king. See, it's interesting. He didn't go to Congress and say, hey, let's pass a law about this. No. He got his EPA to create a rule. Well, that rule's not law. And the problem we have is everybody thinks it's law. It's not law. If you go back to Article 6, Clause 2, there are three things I want you to notice that are not the supreme law of the land. And we need to remember this. First, an executive order. An executive order is not the supreme law of the land. It's not law. It's meaningless outside of the executive branch. A rule or regulation, that's not the supreme law of the land. We don't have to follow them. The problem is we need people to protect us when we actually follow the real law, not the pretend law. And third, the decision of a court. No decision of a court is law. Why? Because all laws in the United States are made by Congress. So no federal court decision is law. And it certainly is not the supreme law. Now, what I find interesting is look at how much we've been discussing and debating all of this nonsense. And if we understood it, we'd realize this isn't law. This is made up edicts and dictates. And this is exactly the type of stuff we claim to declare independence from almost 250 years ago. Now, here's one story where, well, guess what? It's actually constitutional. See, the Biden administration is working on a rule that would ban the use of natural gas in new federal buildings. Well, I say it's sort of constitutional, right? Because it's actually Congress has the authority to legislate over needful buildings, right? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. So Congress can write laws, and of course, by such can give the president the authority to work out some of the details. So my guess is, let me back this up a little bit. Does the federal government have the authority to control whether or not natural gas is allowed in their own buildings? Yes. Is it the president's job to do this, or is it Congress's job to do this? I would say it's primarily Congress's job to do this. But here's what's interesting. So this rule, which is being announced by the Department of Energy does not legally exist. It has the same problem as the EPA. See, the Constitution does not delegate to the United States the authority to regulate energy. So a Department of Energy doesn't have any constitutional purpose. Therefore, the legislation that created the Department of Energy is void because it doesn't have Congress didn't have the constitutional authority to create the department in the first place. Therefore, the Department of Energy does not legally exist. Therefore, all the money that it spends is embezzled from the people of the United States. It's one of the reasons I saw this T-shirt. I wish I could find who created it because I'd love to figure out a way to spread the word. It had a picture of the Constitution and it said, it doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Because if we bothered to read the Constitution, we wouldn't be worrying about the U.S. Department of Energy or Education or EPA or many of the illegal rules and regulations that seem to control our life. But what can we do about this? Well, I've got some ideas, but I have some other things I have to deal with, and I have to take a break before I go to them. Before I go, though, you know, if you want to learn more about the Constitution, which I hope you would, well, I've created a tool to help you. Go to constitutionstudy.com/wizard. It's a planning wizard. You give me your name and your email address, and you answer a few questions, and the system will start generating emails to you based on your answers to maybe give you some ideas of what you can do to meet whatever goals you want. Now, the wizard is free, and many of the suggestions it makes are free. Sure, you know, maybe it may involve buying a book or checking out the Patriots program or signing up for a course somewhere, but most of them are free. And I look at each and every entry. So when you fill that out, I'm going to look at it to see if there's something I can add to what the system is already generating. But it's worth taking a look. Again, constitutionstudy.com/wizard to find out more. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day and running around like a crazy person. And sometimes, you know what? It's hard to fall asleep. You get running around and you don't take the time to relax. Well, a good night's sleep is important. So I have found a sleep supplement that's designed to support all four stages of sleep. Help me fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed. What is this product? Healthy Cells REM Sleep Supplement. I use it mostly when I travel because that's when I have the biggest problem, which is nice because it comes in a travel-ready gel pack I can just throw in my bag and take it when I need it. Now, because you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of REM Sleep or anything from Healthy Cell. Find out more at AmericaOutLoud.shop. Again, go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, find the ad for REM Sleep or any of their products, check them out, put your order together, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, Healthy Cell will give you 25% off your first order.
$58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off. In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. CofixRx has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the CofixRx banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study today. We're talking about the criminal enterprises that the federal government has become. You know, a lot of people don't like to use that type of language, but when the same entity commits the same crimes over and over again, goes unpunished, we surely shouldn't be surprised that, that's how organized crime exists. For example, there's been a lot of talk lately about the plans on May 27th for many nations to sign the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty. And oh my God, it's giving over sovereignty to the United Nations and all that. I've got a couple dirty little secrets that the people who are promoting this don't want you to know. And I don't just mean the people that are promoting the treaty. I mean the people that are promoting the hysteria about the treaty as well. Now, I'm not here to tell you the treaty is a good thing. The treaty, it's a bad treaty. Right? It basically, if you know, the treaty basically says that you're no longer sovereign. The states don't matter. The federal government doesn't matter. The UN can basically say, we're declaring an emergency, and all the laws and all the constitutions go out the window. That's the hype. Here's dirty little secret number one. This treaty is not legally binding on the United States. I don't care if we sign it or not. It's not legally binding on the United States, period. Now, first of all, some people try to get around the treaty clause, right? Well, it's not a treaty. It's an accord. It's an agreement. That's BS. That's just lying to you to say it's not a treaty because we're going to use another name so that we don't have to go through the treaty clause requiring the Senate to a 2/3 approval from the Senate. Doesn't make it so. So unless and until this treaty is approved by the Senate, it's nothing. Right? The president can sign all he wants. It means absolutely nothing within the United States. But, Paul, what if the Senate were to ratify this? It still means bubkiss. Right? I want to tell you, this treaty means absolutely nothing in the United States. It's just the people need to understand this. What do I mean? Well, first of all, this is a health treaty, right? It's from the World Health Organization. It has to do with regulating public health. Regulating public health is not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, even if this were to be passed as a treaty, it would violate the Supremacy Clause because it's not a power. Remember, the Constitution, the laws of the United States made in pursuance thereof, treaties made which shall be made under the authority of the United States. Where does the United States get its authority? The Constitution. The 10th Amendment says that a power not delegated to the United States isn't theirs. The power to regulate public health is not delegated to the United States. It's not a power of the United States. It's not an authority of the United States. Therefore, any treaty made to do that is not done under the authority of the United States. It is, by definition, an unconstitutional act. Meaning, even if the Senate were to ratify this, it's not the supreme law of the land. It is not actual law in the United States. It is bubkiss. Now, just imagine, I want you to think about this for just a minute. With all the brouhaha over this, how many people have you heard tell you, by the way, the federal government has no authority to make, quote unquote, emergency or public health plans? The federal government has no authority to regulate public health, period. It certainly doesn't have the authority to declare an emergency and throw the Constitution out. not a power delegated to the United States. They can't do it by treaty. They can't do it by law. They can't do it by treaty, which means this is just more. This is a magician's trick. See, look at over here. We're doing this. No, it's not real. It's fake. But you see, everybody goes along with it because it's been drilled into our heads that, well, whatever the government says is true. No. Do you see why John Jay was so adamant we should read and study the Constitution? So we would know when our rights are being violated? So we'd be prepared to defend and assert them? Everybody in the state, you should be talking to all your state legislators, your governor, your attorney general, and telling them, listen, we're paying no attention to this treaty because it's not legally binding upon us. First of all, you can't even call it part of our law if it's not a treaty ratified by the Senate. And if it's not ratified by the Senate, then it means nothing here. And oh, by the way, it's not under the authority of the United States. So even if you ratify it by the Senate, it's not the supreme law of the land. But we don't. We've been tricked into this federal supremacists rather than the actual language of the Constitution that realizes it's the Constitution that's supreme, not the people in Washington, D.C. Now, you may have heard there were recently oral arguments before the Supreme Court about the Donald Trump question of presidential immunity. And first of all, the whole idea of immunity is antithetical to the Constitution. The idea that immunity basically means someone is above the law, that kind of is antithetical to the process. But the immunity they're talking about, it's actually civil immunity. And I want to be careful because even I've fallen into a misunderstanding here and there. What they're talking about is, can someone be civilly sued for an official act they take? In other words, in this case, the president. If the president, as president, does something, can they be civilly sued for it? And my basic question is, why not? Right, I understand the logic. Well, you know, if you do this, then people will be sued. Yeah, you know, the opposite is you basically create a king who is above the law. You're basically saying, listen, yes, I can break the law because, well, you can't sue me because I have immunity. That places that person above the law. And that's the whole idea, is no one is above the law. Now, what's interesting is this case is, during oral argument, some very interesting things came out during this these oral arguments. I haven't been through all the oral arguments. I don't know if I'll get to them for an article, but I did see a couple of interesting statements that were made. For example, when President Ford pardoned President Nixon in 1976, could he have been investigated for obstruction of justice? Well, the Constitution gives President sole authority of a pardon. He was exercising a constitutional authority. So, you know, I would say no. Then the question came up, well, what about Obama's drone strikes? And of course, the question is, well, were the drone strikes lawful or not? And yes, there were hundreds of civilians that were killed, but was it an unlawful action? And you know, this is a lot of what the discussion is, because the question being, I guess, debated at the court was President Trump acting as president when he was speaking at the mall about the problems he saw in the 2020 election? Was he speaking as president or as a candidate? And if he was speaking as president, can he be sued for speaking as president? Okay, there's a whole question here. If he was speaking, wouldn't that be a First Amendment issue, being it's in Washington, D.C.? The laws there are created by Congress. But there's this whole milieu of, well, the president is king. He's immune from certain things. And of course, everyone's getting wrapped around the axle about, is it an official act? Is it an unofficial act? And how about the laws apply? How about the president is not above the law? Members of Congress are not, they're not supposed to be above. Now they are, they effectively are. But that's basically because we refuse to hire people that will hold them accountable, and we refuse to hold them accountable ourselves. Now, I try not to make predictions about the court because it really is hard to say, and I haven't listened to the entire oral arguments, but my guess is they'll come up with some question of, well, you can't sue him for a civilly, if it was an official act, and I'm not sure how they're going to come about the question of was it an official act or not. But again, what we're talking about here is from my point of view, is we're talking about how far the courts will seem to let the government of actor be able to violate the law under the claim of immunity because it's an official act, rather than looking at the act and saying, wait a second. And again, remember, this was brought up by Trump. It's Trump lawyers who have brought this idea up to the Supreme Court that as president, he was immune for what he said because he was speaking officially as president when he was speaking on the mall on January 6, 2020. Rather than saying, hey, I have a right to say what I want. I did not encourage people to commit violence. I encouraged them to demonstrate peacefully and patriotically. But again, lawyers are just looking for any way that they can come to an answer, that they can get the answer they want. Right? And that's the biggest issue, right? You've got the answer you want. How do we twist the law to get the answer we want? We've lost this idea of the rule of law. We allowed the United States to effectively become an organized criminal enterprise. I mean, we've seen it in the political show trials that both parties have put on when it comes to within Congress. We've seen the political witch hunts. Where some people are prosecuted, other people are not for doing the exact same thing. We've seen the federal law enforcement used to intimidate people of a different political ideology, and we're surprised why it's happening. We've allowed this to fester, to metastasize for decades. Why are we surprised that the federal government that's been acting like a criminal for decades continues to act like a criminal for decades when we don't fire people for acting like criminals? I mean, what James Garfield said at our centennial was true. Now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If you see Congress with its low approval ratings, with its questionable ethics, with its unwillingness to apply the rules equally, well, you're responsible. We are responsible. It's not just you. It's me. It's all of us. We're responsible for the character of our Congress. We tolerate ignorance, reckless, and corruption. We tolerate the criminal activity. We complain about people entering Congress, without two nickels to rub together, and leaving a decade or two later multimillionaires. Why? We complain about it, well, because we don't apply the law to them. We allow insider trading as long as it's done within Congress. And we always seem to ask, why don't we have better people in Congress? Well, because you turn it into a criminal empire, which means it's going to attract people who will put their power and advancement above their oath to the Constitution. So as we look at the criminal enterprise that is the United States, and I'm not saying the United States is all criminal, but we've turned the government into a criminal enterprise. We've allowed it to happen. We need to take responsibility for it. We need to recognize that if Congress is corrupt, it's because we tolerate it. If we want Congress to be honorable and seeking justice, we need to demand these qualities. And if we don't get them, well, then we need to find somebody who will. And it's going to be very hard because we've spent decades turning this into an enterprise fit for crime and fit for corruption. It's going to be very hard to find honest people that would be willing to serve in the face of that much corruption. Okay, I have to take a break, and then I'm going to get to the Peter Serafin interview. We're going to have a great discussion about his new book, Trust Shattered, Cases of Government Betrayal. But before I go, I do want to remind you to check out Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They have the very best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on all the same networks using all the towers that the main carriers do. So you can get the coverage that you need. Their U.S.-based customer support is, if you need them, they're great to deal with. I've had to deal with them a couple times, and they've been wonderful. Most of all, they don't take the money they collect from you and spend it on things that destroy our rights. No. They share our values. They support organizations that are fighting for religious liberty, your constitutional rights, the sanctity of life, and yes, to support our veterans and first responders. So switch to Patriot Mobile today. Get free activation with the offer code Constitution. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Constitution, find a plan that works for you, find a device that works for you, but be sure to use that promo code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. While you're at it, you know, why don't you join me at AmericaOutloud.news every day? It's a great place to get news and goings on that are important. See, it's not just the news you get. It's your ability to share it. You think about it. The freedom of the press, freedom to publish information, freedom of speech, freedom to express ideas. We have to do our part. If we want these blessings of liberty to continue, we need to do our part. That means sharing this information, sharing the stories, sharing the articles, sharing the podcast, sharing the videos. All of this works to help us secure our blessings of liberty. And if we want to enjoy them, if we want our children to enjoy them, we need to do the work today to make sure they will be there for them tomorrow.
George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time. My fellow Americans, America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms. But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. As promised, we have author Peter Serafin joining us. He has a new book coming out today, Trust Shattered. Peter, thank you for joining us here today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Paul.
You know, we've talked before. I know I've been on your stuff. I don't remember if you've been on the Constitution Study before.
I don't think I have.
So let's take the opportunity. Can you tell my audience a little bit about you and then a little bit about your book? Just, you know, why'd you bother?
That's a really good question. A little bit about me. I'm a high school educated, just kind of really middle class, middle aged, just average guy. And I got bit by the political bug, so to speak, around the second term of Obama. I started to look at the political landscape and think politics and society as a whole is just going crazy. And from there, I wanted to do something about it. You know, I'm a Navy veteran, so I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And then I went in the American Legion, was there for a long time, did lots of oaths to the Constitution there. Now I'm a Pennsylvania State Constable, did the oath to the Constitution there. I'm a mailman, did it there. So I've done this oath so many times, and I thought, what am I really doing? And when I got hit by the political bug, I decided I wanted to do something, and writing a little book was the only thing I could think to do, because I'm not famous, I'm not rich. Boy, anybody could write a book. So I wrote my first book, then I started to blog, and then I started a podcast, and the podcast turned into an internet radio show, kind of like yours did. And then I was doing too many things. I'm building courses on the Constitution. I'm writing a weekly opinion article. I'm writing books. I'm doing all of these things. And I know in my heart I've got to give something up. And the radio network I was on kind of reshuffled their time clock around, and I lost my time slot, and they wanted me to move someplace else. I'm like, you know what? No, that's the sign that that's the thing I need to give up. So I gave up the radio show to focus on writing. And in the course of my first three books, I went from, hey, something's wrong in politics, to, you know, I lean pretty much to the right, to, I think I'm a constitutional originalist. And now I know I'm a constitutional originalist. And this last book I wrote, Trust Shattered, Cases of Government Betrayal. Well, this is my idea of, you know, I don't trust government like our founding fathers. They didn't trust government of any kind. I don't trust government of any kind. And I don't understand how anybody else can trust government. So I wrote this book as a, hey, read this and tell me if you still trust government. This is 45 examples of where the United States has betrayed their duty to protect our liberties, our lives, liberty, and property. Yes. And it's 40, not conspiracy theories. I went out of my way to avoid conspiracy theories. This is 45 things that they've admitted to.
Wow. You know, we do have a similar background in how we came to this, but you're right. I listen to these people and they keep saying, well, you know, the government failed us here and the bureaucrats failed us there. And they're shocked. They're surprised. I'm like, why? Why, when you got a bureaucracy, are you surprised when it, you should be surprised when it does work, not when it doesn't work. And yeah, I'm like, you know, are we really like Charlie Brown with Lucy in the football? And we're just going to keep swinging at it, even though they keep failing us every time. So, you know, so you say there are 45 examples. Give me one example that maybe really caught your attention that you go over in the book.
All right. Well, it's divided into three parts. And those three parts are John Locke's immutable categories of life, liberty, and property. So part one is betrayed. I can't believe I forgot the name of the part.
Yeah, I know you do so many of these things, and eventually the mind.
I do this. I've had to have done like two dozen of these interviews so far. So it's divided into three parts: life, liberty, and poverty. It's betrayed bodies, betrayed liberties, and betrayed estates is the name of the three parts. And in part one, you know, the Tuskegee syphilis experiments is probably the most famous example. But the one that I thought was the most egregious example was the San Francisco biological warfare experiments, where the United States military decided to spray bacteria over the city of San Francisco, where 750,000 people lived, just to see how it spread.
Wow.
Nothing could go wrong with that, right? 750,000 people. Let's take this supposedly and hopefully harmless bacteria just to see how it would spread in a biological warfare situation.
And of course, being intelligent people, we've learned from that to not let the government tell you, you know, just stick something in your arm because they say it's safe.
Right. And actually, that's a chapter in the book. It's kind of toward the end. It's almost like a conclusion thing. Is, you know, part one goes through 100 years of examples of how the government has used us as guinea pigs, and then says, so is there any doubt that there's going to be vaccine skepticism from those who have any knowledge of this history? So, I'm not going to say I tried to be as relatively neutral as possible. My goal with the book is that if I were to give it to somebody like you, who thinks a lot like me, you're going to read it and maybe you'll learn a thing or two. There might be a chapter you didn't know about or this or that, or not know how this project was connected to that project or something. But I try to write it a way that when you're done reading it, you can give it to your most progressive sister-in-law or friend or coworker or whatever and say, hey, read this. And when they come out of it, when they read it, they're probably not going to agree with you, but hopefully they'll at least understand your point of view. They'll understand where you're coming from.
Right. You can lead a progressive to water. You can't make them think.
Yeah.
So, you know, I expect it to be an interesting book. You gave me a copy. I haven't really had a chance to dig into it yet, but it also sounds like I've got these 45 examples of where the government has just plain lied to the American people. Is there any hope coming out of that at the end?
I think so. I think there's a lot of hope for our country. And I just did an interview last night with a local news reporter, came to the house, sat down around the dining room table, face-to-face interview, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I like those.
And he asked a similar question. He wanted to know, like, well, where do we go from here? Is there hope? Is, you know, are we heading off the cliff? I'm like, well, we're teetering at the edge of the cliff. I think the hope is things like, quite frankly, like you do and like I do, is the education side of things. The U.S. Constitution starts with the words "we the people" because it's a document for us. It is our tool to keep government in check. But we can't do that if we don't know it. So, you know, John Jay's quote that I know you've used many times, it's actually the epigraph of this book, we've got to teach the rising generation to be free. Every member of the state ought diligently read and study the Constitution of his country. So that's where we're missing. And, you know, hopefully little things like this book wake up people to maybe they'll read it again. Maybe they'll go to constitutionstudy.com. Maybe they'll go to the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, where I've got online courses put up for the Constitution. Just learn something.
You know, I was doing an interview yesterday. It was a face-to-face interview at a person's location. And what was interesting is I've done several interviews with this gentleman. To see someone who recognized something we talked about before, and that the answer doesn't come out of DC. The answer comes out of Main Street. And, you know, I was asked a question online the other day, you know, what can we do? And it says, well, I talk a lot about talking to my sheriff. He goes, what else can we do? I'm like, well, who else is in your county? Who's in your city? And the line that the person I was interviewing or that interviewed me yesterday said, you know, What's the worst case scenario? If all you do is, you know, you're not going to fix the entire country, but if all you do is take these examples to teach our local elected employees, teach them their role, teach them their job, teach them that, the worst that happens, your town is better.
Right.
I mean, if it does nothing else, your town is better. And isn't that worth it?
It's absolutely worth it. And you know what? Stop relying on government for everything. I recently adopted a dog, and I went to a dog park. Now, the closest off-leash dog park to me is a 20-minute drive away in a neighboring town. And it's far enough away that anytime I take the dog up there, I go to Starbucks or Dairy Queen, or I get lunch. You know, I get something. I spend money in that other town. So I went to the borough council here, and I said, I think we should have a dog park. We've got a whole bunch of parks. Put a fence around one of them. I think we should have a dog park. I went to borough council 3 times. On the 3rd time, they actually had a conversation. They didn't just sit there stone-faced listening to me. But they basically, well, they gave me my 15 minutes of fame and told me to go away. They listened to me for a couple of minutes, gave the reasons why they're not going to do it, and expected me to disappear. I didn't. Instead, I filed to create a nonprofit LLC. I now have a 9-person board of directors, and I'm the CEO of a nonprofit group dedicated to funding, establishing, and maintaining an off-leash dog park in Bellefonte. You don't need government. I went to them first because they own a bunch of land. It would be easy. When they said no, I'm like, all right, screw you. I'll do it myself.
You know, you started that story, and my first thought was, well, let's see, my closest off-leash dog park is outside my front door. So I live on almost 70 acres of land out in the middle of nowhere. Literally, yeah, my dog, you know, it's odd for my dog to be on a leash. You know, yeah. But you're right. It's like, why do we keep depending on them? And because, especially since they keep failing us over and over and over again. So, Peter, where can people find the book? You're either listening, hopefully listening to this at 4 p.m. on May 1st. So the book is out. But if you're listening on podcast, it's out. You can order it. Where can people find the book?
It's anywhere you can buy books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever. You can also go to trustshattered.com or my homepage, liberty-lighthouse.com. Order them directly from me. If you do that, I'll sign it and send it to you. Another thing, I've got about 10 of these left, and I'll give these. If you order it directly from me at either liberty-lighthouse.com or trustshattered.com, I will give you an indexed version of the U.S. Constitution, where you flip to the back of the thing and you say, let's see here. Tax shall be laid unless an appropriation to the census and enumerated, blah, blah, blah. That's Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4. So, handy dandy little tool if you want to take that time to read and study the Constitution, as John Jay said. It comes in quite handy. I've got about 10 more copies of these. And you order a copy directly from me, and I'll throw one in until they're gone.
So before we leave, is there like one parting piece of information that you want my audience to know about, you think they really should know, or at least be interested enough to maybe dig a little deeper on?
I don't know. I mean, I've got a weekly opinion article that goes up on my Substack, libertylighthouse.substack.com. Thank you for following it, by the way, Paul. If you take a look at that, that's a free way to look at that. If you like what I write there, you'll like the book.
Wonderful. Well, like I said, Peter, you've interviewed me back when you had your radio program several times. We've corresponded a bit. I was glad to see the book is out. I want to thank you for a copy of it. I'm looking forward to actually finding time in my crazy week to sit down and read it. If you listen to the Constitution study, you're going to like Peter. If you like the stuff I'm talking about, you're going to, because, you know, what's the old line, you know, brothers from another mother, you know,
yeah.
We kind of look a little bit alike. I'm a little grayer than he is and all that. But I really think you'll like it, and you'll give it a shot. And again, help A, educate yourself about our own history, because let's face it, government-run schools aren't going to do it. But then educate yourself to teach the rising generation to be free.
And Madison warned us of all of this stuff, standing in the floor of the House when he said, I've always taken the general welfare clause to be attached to the powers before it. And if we in Congress can, you know, spend money willy-nilly in the general welfare, and we're the ones who define what the general welfare is, then Congress is going to run the schools and hire the teachers and take over the roads, not just the post roads, and spend money on whatever they want. Like, it's kind of like George Orwell's 1984. It was a warning, not a roadmap.
Exactly. Well, Peter, thank you for your time. Good luck with the book, and we'll keep an eye out. I'll have you on again when something interesting pops up.
All right. Thanks.
So I hope you liked that interview. Again, I've been interviewed by Peter a couple of times, and we are very much in sync in how we think about things, which is probably why I haven't had a chance to sit down and read his book yet. I think I'm going to enjoy it. I think you will as well. So give it a shot. You can find the book at trustshatter.com or wherever you purchase books, and support a patriot that's, working to keep us free. And learn something while you're at it. Now, I also hope you come back and join us here for the Constitution Study. We're heard every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. All the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. So you can listen to your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study. It's the way you can help not only spread the word, but spread the ideas that we're talking about here. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But as always, share the link, share the stories, share the episodes, share this information. Why? It's not simply about sharing the Constitution Study or even sharing America Out Loud. See, one of the blessings of liberty is the ability to express ourselves, to share information we think is helpful and useful. So when you exercise that liberty, when you exercise that right, you do more than just share the word, you share the Constitution Study. You're literally helping to share the blessings of liberty.